Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The title of the book is Pictured Life, A True Stories from Northern and Upper Michigan. And joining me is the author, Annika Letitia Van Ooyen-Kranz. Welcome to the program. Tell me a little of your book, then. This is a fascinating book on many levels. The one thing that caught my attention in one of your first few pages was opening the door. Tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 5 years old. The brass door handles leads to a new life. That is descriptive of the content, if I understand it correctly.
Okay, that is very descriptive of the content. And, would you like me to introduce my book as if I'm speaking to a friend?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I will be your friend for the next 15, 20 minutes at least, maybe beyond
that. Oh, thank you. Imagine, take time to imagine, driving down a country road in the UP of Michigan. Visualize a two-story schoolhouse built in 1912 on a corner of 120 acres, a dairy farm. The pathway, lined by wildflowers in colors of pink, yellow, and white, leads this young girl to the great oaken door. She sees the lock. Three great horned owls on the school roofline give thought to her forefathers, their wisdom. Today is my birthday. I will be 5 years old. The door is opened. Visualize kindergarten through grade three students singing Christmas carols in unison for their parents and grandparents, all dressed up for the occasion, wearing new clothes stitched by their loving mothers. I stood at the front row. I was short. Imagine. Pictured Life relives the daily life and challenges of the first immigrants in the state of Michigan. Challenge, perseverance, hope, and light bring the reader on a journey of the people. The reader will feel the sentiment of the struggles and the joy and love of family. Early days of the 20th century brought wealth to the communities. Mining and logging brought immigrants from Finland, Sweden, and Norway. Highlighting challenges, the reader will begin to understand the fortitude with profound love within community.
English was not your primary language growing up. Am I understanding that correctly also?
It was not my primary language. No.
And how did you end up in Michigan? Your family, what was the reason Michigan was chosen? Because it's a very cold climate. You didn't come from a country that was as cold as Michigan. What brought your family there?
Oh, what a good question. I had an aunt that was already here. And what really brought my family here was what we studied in history years ago as a young child, education for their children, my parents' children, and opportunity for my father, and the freedom of religion, those three. And that's why they came to the United States.
Those are very important reasons. 218 pages approximately, filled with wonderful memories from your perspective as a young child and on through adulthood. Plus, the photos. The photos are fabulous. Have you always had a desire to be a creative and not only write a book, but also include photography as part of your passion?
Oh, that is such a good question. I'm a musician, and I really excelled as a musician. I'm a flutist or flautist. In my retirement, I picked up my camera. Actually, my camera was given to me by my daughter. And we were going to go on an anniversary trip, my husband and I, and she gave me a camera. That was the beginning of photography. That was about 10 years ago. And in traveling in the UP, I just became curious. My parents lived up there. I became curious. I peeked in windows, peeked through the cracks of barn doors, and I had my camera, and my camera revealed truth within the buildings that I could feel.
Wow. And you didn't get arrested for peeking in windows.
Oh, I did not get arrested. I checked around to see if I was by myself, and I was.
Wonderful. The photos are wonderfully done. Was this in, you say, 10 years ago? I guess that's the beginning of what I'd call the digital age of photography. Is that also a correct observation?
That is so correct. And my cover photo was my first photo. And I peeked my camera. It was totally dark inside. My camera peeked through the crack in that window. And what was revealed was the inside of two classrooms. And I just took pictures. It was totally dark. But my camera picked up what the reader will view in the book.
Beautiful.
And I really could feel the sentiment of the students and the teachers.
Now, Annika, is this particular building, the front cover, is that the school that you attended, or is this a different building?
This is in the UP at 600 miles from where I live. My parents retired up there, and it's not the school I attended. I placed myself in the UP and relayed my experiences of growing up in the lower UP, which became the UP for me in the book.
And the listeners, UP stands for Upper Michigan or Lower Michigan, correct?
That's so correct. Upper Michigan, Lower Michigan.
You were an UP kid, or were you a LP kid? I'm not sure. I didn't quite get that connection. Or was it Upper Michigan?
Thank you. I was a LP kid.
Lower Michigan. That's a phrase that I think is colloquial to that populace. I grew up actually across from Michigan in Ontario, so I do have a little bit of an understanding of Michigan. Most of my visits and transitions or visits were in LP. So Detroit was kind of my destination a lot of times as a teenager, but Upper Michigan has become a fascination for me in my older years. I won't say how many older I am, but for a while I was thinking maybe I could buy some property in Northern Michigan in LP because I wanted to be away from the heat. I'm in Texas right now, wanted to be in the cooler climates during the summer. It hasn't worked out well, so I'm still here and staring at LP, but or UP, depending on whichever phrase you want to use. The book itself and the passion for writing this, there must have been something that motivated you besides just nostalgia. What was that?
Well, it's the passion for the people of the UP and Upper Lower Michigan. It's my passion for their perseverance and for their hope. And so my story became intertwined with theirs and bringing theirs to the foresight. I'm going to read my first answer to a first question here.
Excellent. Yes, please do.
I will explain. I feel the pain, the struggles. I view the perseverance, the struggles of great design. I view the beauty, the wildflowers, wild apples, the birds, and insects. I feel the sentiment of the people, settlers and immigrants in a new land. I have experienced this. I know the challenge. I have great respect for the people, the first immigrants to the USA. My hope is that the reader will relate and feel the triumph of the immigrant. That is why I wrote this book. That is the reason for my photography. My photography speaks and must speak with greatest respect for the people.
And I will say this, Upper Michigan is not, when we think of Michigan, people from the different states, diverse states, think of the auto industry. This is really not what Michigan is all about. There are much more rural in Upper Michigan, a lot of farmland and that type of thing. Is that your experience, or was that your experience growing up in the lower part of Michigan as well?
In the lower part of Michigan, I'm from a family of 11 children.
Oh my.
And so we were outdoors all the time. And my parents, my father was a musician, my mother was the naturalist and knew everything about nature. So our time was spent outdoors. And so my appreciation for the outdoors came from my family, my parents, and then we just lived it. And so going to Upper Michigan, the outdoors there is not destroyed yet. It's somewhat untouched by the people. And so, and my love is there.
It's a beautiful, beautiful state in so many regards, other than a couple of the large cities which have become difficult to live in. The characters, the scenes in this book, you mentioned your photography and certainly your passion for the people and their desire to be successful in life and to persevere during hardship. What was the first scene, perhaps, first thing that you remember in your stay or in your living in Michigan as a young child?
My first scenes was the school. I came into this country when I was just 4, and then I had to start school, had to begin school, and I had to learn a new language. And that's the first chapter in my book represents that.
You mentioned you mentioned a school by the name of Bessemer School. Is that the one that's highlighted?
Yes. In the book, it's North Bessemer School. In my life, it's a school in Lower Michigan.
The school itself, as you've mentioned, was on 120 acres. I didn't realize this about the early settlers and the education system, but the teachers actually lived on site. Is that also correct?
Yes, that's correct. My facts they're correct. They lived upstairs. 4 women teachers. They hired them and they lived upstairs. Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. The children, the horned owls, you mentioned that in the opening comments also. That was also something that stuck in your mind, and also the songs that were being shared by the students.
Yeah. The great horned owls, they're sculpture. Okay, they're on the top roofline of the school, 3 of them. I'm overwhelmed by the wisdom of the forefathers. Their wisdom for their children, they wanted a good education. That's why my parents came here. That's why they went to the UP. They went for job opportunity, for religious opportunity, for school opportunity. And this school represents that.
Phenomenal. You mentioned, of course, there is an understanding of the northern provinces, the northern states having some severe winters. Anything like that, is that a remembrance of yours as well?
Oh, yes. One of the scenes in my book is a blizzard of 1938.
Hmm.
The school children were in school. They were stranded. This is a true fact. They were stranded for a few days. The drifts were 25 feet high.
Wow.
Right. And in the end, an uncle of one of the owners of the land, an uncle, rescued the students by his sleigh and returned them home. But the snow, the depth was so great that when people were outside, they didn't realize they were walking on top of cars.
Oh, my.
You know, they dug tunnels finally to rescue the people and bring food.
What an incredible story.
Yes, it's in the library in Bessemer, the little village of Bessemer, where I received these facts. And I actually, this past fall, I met the last owner, the aunt that owns this land of 120 acres. And she could tell me these real facts and confirm them. And she is presently, she has 2 cows there, which are in my book. And she's going to make this 120 acres into a land where she's going to bring in animals that have been rescued. It's going to be a rescue coiner.
That'll be beautiful. Absolutely
it's
beautiful.
Just beautiful. Yeah.
Now, the setting is certainly, I'm sure, very picturesque and is highlighted in your book. Book itself, is it, I know there are other books, perhaps, that have a nostalgic look at history and maybe even our personal history in growing up. I have some views in my mind, some thoughts of winter and growing up that are important to me. I don't know that I could share them properly. Your book, though, is unique. What makes it different from others out there?
Well, Pictured Life is different from other books with similar topics. Photography of 350 photos encircled by connective life stories will be brought to life. Through cracks and crevices, the photos have been taken. Through my camera lens, I view from the outside into revealing secrets. Schools have passed, barns have passed, homes have passed, and churches have passed are my focus. Historical stories are revealed. A mine collapse, a blizzard, a house fire. Family stories intertwined among the beauty of past and beauty of present. Pathways lead the journey forward. Wildflowers, insects, and red, wild, delicious apples are the pathway. The beauty of the people and their past remains forever.
Beautiful. And this really reflects back, how many years do you think? When does your story begin, at least in photo form? Back in the early 1900s?
It's early 1900s, right. Correct.
Wow. Wow.
Most of the photos are all, it's right the early 1900s, up to maybe 1940.
And there must have been some challenges. As a photographer, I have taken, I know in one of my computers, I had over 7,000 or 8,000 pictures. Not all of them were genuinely wonderful. Was there any challenge for you? Did you have hard copies or were you looking at computers? How was the challenge in putting this together?
That's such a good question. I can so relate to your pictures and your many pictures. I made hard copies.
Oh,
and I chose the hard copies from my computer, and I laid them on my music room floor. I'm a musician, a music teacher. Okay, I have a music room. My floor was covered with pictures, and I just sat there, and I put the stories together within the pictures. And I made a hardcover book with these pictures. That was my first book. That was my intent, and that led to the book I have.
It's beautiful.
But yes, I had to put it together in my head by looking at the pictures, and so.
Well, it's beautifully done. Is there anything that may be important to you that you want to make sure you share with the listening audience?
Yes. My name is Annika Laetitia. She is the photographer. Annika Laetitia is the author. Throughout this book, poetry connects the script of the stories. My book begins with a poem entitled, "The Light Welcomes You." Light, love, and hope are dominant themes throughout pictured life, despite the hardships of everyday life in the early 1900s. Annika Laetitia is privileged and humbled to share her book. The stories are of a young child from age 5 through 13, written on how a child perceives and views life. What a great gift to realize publication of the stories and photos discovered on my journey. The stories of the immigrants, their determination, and their love have become my treasure. I sincerely thank everyone. Blessings and best to all people. Love one another. Find beauty in each other and find beauty in our wonderfully creative world. Thank you. Annika Laetitia, Benoyan Crans.
Fabulous. Again, the title of the book is Pictured Life, True Stories from Northern and Upper Michigan. My guest author, Annika Laetitia Van Ooyen Crans. I think I got that pretty close. What do you think?
You did. Very good.
I appreciate your time. This is a book that I think anyone would find fascinating, not only to view, but also to enjoy the storyline and the history that's encompassed here. You've embraced not only a nostalgic look at your life, but a life that many of us can relate to, especially those over 35. I'm over 35 by a bunch. Anyway, I can relate to your story and to the photos. They're beautifully done. Is this the first book you've released, Annika?
Yes, it is the first book.
Beautiful.
I'm working on a book and a third book, but this is my first book. Yes.
They can do a search under your name or Pictured Life. That's how I found it on Amazon. And where else can they find a copy of this?
It's Archway Publishing, and it is under Barnes & Noble.
Beautiful.
The hardcover book is coming out very soon. Right now it's the ebook and the softcover, and the hardcover is almost complete.
Well, incredible. Congratulations. And again, I have a feeling we may see or hear from you in the future. If you're trying to locate by the author's name, let me just give you the last part of it, because it is it's a five-person name, so it might be easier to find it under Ooyen Crans, C-R-A-N-S, Ooyen Crans, as the last name. It's Van Ooyen Crans, actually. You can find it there, and it's Annika Laetitia. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story. It's been wonderful to visit with you.
Thank you so very much. Oh, and I enjoyed your visit. And thank you and best to you. And someday come to the UP or give me a call. We've got a little cabin up there in the middle of nowhere. And love it.
Oh, hey, I'm going to talk to you off air and find out more about that. That's of interest to me. Annika, thank you so much. For Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.